Hello, welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kavit Akhwayi. The Persian Gulf island of Bahrain has experienced near-daily anti-government protests for more than 16 months now. But you don't hear an outcry from Western countries like the U.S. or the international community, for that matter, over the situation there, unlike their reaction to Syria. The Bahraini regime even arrested an 11-year-old boy recently for taking part in demonstrations. In this news analysis, we'll look at how the international community has failed when it comes to Bahrain, and how, after scores of deaths and large numbers of arrests and torture, Bahrain has asked for a seat on the UN Human Rights Committee.
The crisis in the tiny Persian Gulf Kingdom of Bahrain remains unresolved. Anti-regime protesters have proven to be too resilient to be deterred by nearly 18 months of a brutal government crackdown. Scores of protesters have been killed and many more injured as they take to the streets calling for the downfall of the ruling Al Khalifa regime. Regime forces have not acted alone in the suppression. Bahrain's traditional ally and neighbor, Saudi Arabia, was quick to deploy troops to stop the waves of the Arab uprising from reaching Bahraini shores. But as many analysts argue, the international community abandoned the people of Bahrain in their struggle. Western countries have even provided the Manama regime with arms, including poisonous tear gas. The prominent human rights activist Nabil Rajab, who's been imprisoned several times in recent months, accuses the West of adopting an outright double standard policy regarding his country.
That shows the hypocrisy of Western government when it comes to democracy, when it comes to justice. That shows that those countries, when they talk about justice and democracy, they mean only those countries they have a problem with, but they don't talk about their allies, who are dictators, who are repressive regimes. The international community, people around the world, freedom fighters should fight the hypocrisy of the some European government and United States government.
People from all walks of life have been targeted by Bahraini authorities. Even this 11-year-old boy named Ali Hassan was arrested and charged with taking part in anti-regime protests. He denies the accusation.
We were playing football and the ball went to the other side where the roads were blocked. While I went to get the ball, there was a private car that came towards me and a person came out running after me. As I tried to run, the person got hold of me.
A court has issued a verdict saying he doesn't need to go back to jail, but has to be monitored for 1 year. Despite its brutal crackdown against anti-regime protesters, Bahrain is now lobbying for a seat at the UN Human Rights Council's Advisory Committee. The committee is due to elect members in September and acts as a think tank for the UN Council. But many argue there's been no change of attitude among Bahraini officials regarding human rights to justify a membership for the kingdom.
The government of Bahrain still believes that with violence, with importing mercenaries from outside, with buying arms from the United States, they could solve their problem.
It seems Bahraini people still have a long and difficult road ahead. What's for sure is they've learned not to rely on foreign help and are standing on their own feet to realize their goals. That's what many believe makes their revolution unique among similar uprisings in the Middle East and North Africa.
Our guests for this edition of the News Analysis, let me introduce them. Back from the Bahrain Center for Human Rights, Abbas Al-Omran joins us from London. We have former lecturer at the University of Bahrain, Colin Covell, who joins us from Austin. And president of the Bahraini Medical Association, Osama Al-Aradi, joins us from Detroit, Michigan. Gentlemen, welcome. Colin Covell, I'd like to start off with you. Has the near silence of the international community over Bahrain been a green light for the Saudi-backed regime there to continue with their actions?
Of course. It is a green light from the United States to allow the Saudis, to allow the Bahraini regime, the 229-year-old monarchy, to clamp down on the pro-democracy opposition. And as we see in today's news, they're even going after 11-year-olds. Ali Hassan, who the regime will probably continue to monitor for the next year because they suspect he's probably a terrorist leader, a danger, a threat to the throne. Yes, I hear from my contacts in Bahrain that the people are now saying, be like Ali, be truthful, be courageous, be like Ali. He is a modern-day Napoleon, a modern-day Clausewitz, a modern-day Suleiman the Magnificent. Yes, he is a modern-day Che Guevara. I tip my hat to Ali Hassan.
That is actually an interesting and unique way of looking at his arrest. But Abbas al-Omran, on the other side of the coin, arresting an 11-year-old boy for taking part in demonstrations. What was your reaction when that incident happened?
The Bahraini regime, I think, when he accused the Bahraini people who was coming down to the street to express about them demands and them opinions, he arrested everybody. He arrested the women, he arrested the old man, he arrested the prominent figures for the human rights as Nabil Rajab, and also the children. These children, Ali Hassan, who is age 11 years, who is supposed to be considered as a child of less than 18 years. Similar to him, there are 25% of the prisoners still there at the jail. And the current number for the prisoners inside the Bahraini jails reach about 1,800. And out of that one, 200 children are still in the jail. But the case of Ali Hassan, it's become very clear because of his age is 11 and he have been accused for 25 days. And after the international pressure and inside movement, the Bahraini regime forced to release him and have been taken to the court. And that court sentenced him a year. And they said to him, you have to be monitored and if he shall not repeat that one. What does it mean? Does it mean that the Bahraini regime, he will not distinguish between anybody, and he would like to send a clear signal to the Bahraini opposition and the Bahraini movement that in my suppressions and my repressions, I'm not going to get rid of anybody of you, even though the child of that age, it will be in my hand, and I am going to use it as a political paper in the negotiation. It's a very clear signal. If you see the repression of the regime during the last few days, he hated as an example a peaceful gathering for the political society, which is Al-Wafaq, and Al-Wafaq head Ali Sheikh Ali Salman have been targeted by shooting him directly by that rubber bullets, and one of the protesters have been injured. And also there is a case now at the Bahraini court, which is for Amal Society, which is the second biggest society in Bahrain, and it's expected in the hearing session, which it will be conducted next week, they will dissolve the society. All of these things, if you can put it together, you will see that the Bahraini regime is relying on the suppressions. And based on that suppression, he would like to send a signal that for the Bahraini opposition, I'm going to go until the end, even though there is a lot of declaration and statement have been issued by the international NGOs, as the one that have been issued by the
right.
Human Rights Watch.
Right.
And they said that for the Bahraini regime, stop killing the people by using the poisonous gases.
Right, and I'm trying to understand, Assam al-Aradi, you have the case of this 11-year-old who was arrested, jailed for a month. You have the case of the opposition being attacked. You have the case, as our guest mentioned there, civil society being dissolved. And then you have Bahrain, its government, the regime there, lobbying for a seat on the UN Human Rights Council's advisory committee. They've even submitted letters endorsing it's entirely qualified. This is while more than 20 countries have produced a statement to the UN explaining the concerns about the ongoing human rights abuses, trying to figure out how people there in the government think they're qualified.
Bahrain has signed the Convention for the Rights of Children Act, actually that was in 1992. and it is supposed to adhere and abide with the with that convention. But, you know, it is very obvious to anyone who really is watching what's going on in Bahrain that, that Bahrain is not at all, you know. And let's go even beyond the revolution in 2011. Even before that, there were hundreds of detained children, too, which were abused, were tortured, sexually abused. This is quite evident. When we go back to, since the revolution, February 2011 till now, there are hundreds also of children who were jailed, tortured, abused. And only after Bassiouni's report, there are at least 100 or so children that were also, again, you know, they get home raids. Their majority are arrested from their homes. They're being in jail and they get tortured. This is quite evident. Let's go to the Human Rights First report. This was issued last month. It clearly mentions that. Ali Hassan is one of many, actually. And let's not forget that children has directly suffered from Bahrain's government oppression. Let's not forget Sayyid Ahmed, 16 years old, who was shot in front of his house by direct live bullet. Let's not forget that 4-year-old who was sitting beside his father selling fish, and they get targeted by the security with a direct bullet in his eye. You know, there are lots of, let's not forget that 1 month old Sajida who was suffocated from tear gas. Children has suffered a lot in Bahrain, and the United Nations periodic review actually in May that was done, the Committee on Children's Rights expressed that clearly to the Bahrain's government. Well, you are not abiding, you are actually torturing, and that was mentioned by that committee, not by me. Bahrain governments no doubt torture kids, jail kids, and try them in criminal court and military court, and not a juvenile court that they're supposed to. So I wonder how Bahrain, with all that record, I would say terrible record when it comes to children's violations of children's rights, how it will win, how it will be able to get from the United Nations. Definitely, right. I don't see that at all.
Well, that's been the reaction of many around the world. But Colin Covell, let's switch gears a little bit. Bahrain's unrest has taken almost the same amount of time that Syria's has. How do you explain the different approach by the West?
A different approach by the West.
This is to me, right?
No, Colin Covell, go ahead.
They wish to replace the regime of Bashar al-Assad in Syria with a client regime in order to foster and advance U.S. hegemonic influence in the region. Because of our Fifth Fleet in Bahrain, they're still keeping quiet. They will eventually require regime structural change in Bahrain should the Obama regime win re-election in November. But it's interesting that the regime in Bahrain believes that it is stable, believes that it has resolved all of its problems, as they announce in their papers every day. By going after Ali Hassan, and as Mr. Al-Amran just indicated, the children are rising up in Bahrain. The children, and they're being targeted by this regime and being led by 11-year-olds. Be like Ali. Ali is a new hero of the revolution in Bahrain. And when 11-year-olds rise up against a regime, that indicates that it is teetering and tottering on the brink of collapse. The Al-Khalifa regime, the 229-year-old autocratic, despotic monarchy, is teetering and tottering on the brink of collapse. Be like
Imran,
Ali.
There was an announcement that the Saudi Arabia had made regarding bringing in Bahrain under its wings, this union, so to speak. Why did Saudi Arabia make that move? What were they trying to achieve by doing this? One reason was cited that it was trying to save U.S.'s the fifth fleet there. But you tell us what your impression was when Saudi Arabia made that announcement. Abbas Al-Omran.
I couldn't hear you very well. Could you please just repeat?
Yes, the announcement by Saudi Arabia, trying to bring Bahrain, merge it under their wings, so to speak. This union.
Still the sounds.
Okay, let's go on to Osama Al-Aradi.
Yes, I heard you. I think that Saudi Arabia, he would like to take the Bahrain under the cover and the statement they would like, and what they call it, a union. Everybody knows that the Saudi troops came to the Bahrain at the middle of March of last year, and they wanted from that interference crossing the Bahraini border to get to suppress the protesters who came down to the street. And everybody knows that these attempts have been drastically failed, and the people wouldn't draw back to the home, and they said stop, and we don't like to demand about our democracy rights. The people keep continue demanding on the street, and the Saudi troops attempts failed, and after all of that fails, they would like to jump at the air and to another step. At that step, they call it as a union, and that step has been resisted by internally from even though from the other two-thirds GCC countries, and they said we know that one. Today is Bahrain, next it will be the other country, and everybody knows there is a territory problem between the Saudi and the other GCC countries, and all of that problem that the Saudi taken a land from the other country, as in Kuwait and as in Emirates, as in Qatar, and that's call from Saudi with a union. It is not true. It is just something they would like to show it to the public, and behind of that one, they would like to go and to kill more people under that call.
And Osama Al-Aradi, we know how Saudi Arabia is an ally for the United States. And let's look more at the stance of the United States. The government of Bahrain, the U.S. has said, has begun to take steps to implement recommendations of the BICI, that was the Bahrain Independent Commission of Inquiry. Now, they made that statement after they resumed arms sales to Bahrain. What does that show in terms of the U.S. posturing when it comes to Bahrain?
Yeah, United States, I think, administration is considered Al Khalifa a very close ally, and I don't think they are going to let them listen to the people's demands there. I think the U.S. administration fully supports the government of Bahrain. And, you know, actually, I personally had a question to one of the secretaries of state official that was a couple of weeks ago. We had an ADC meeting in Washington, D.C., and I asked her, you know, why you show full support to Bahrain government as they violate human rights, as they work against democracy and freedom, these principles that the United States always call for, and they say we are always support those everywhere in the world. So I told them, why you are showing double standard? Why two-faced? You are so fully supporting, whereas when it comes to one country, but when it comes to Bahrain, you are closing your eyes or giving a blind eye, and you are not. I don't think there is an answer, really. On the official level, you won't hear clear answer. But I think what is going on is behind the scenes is that, you know, they want the oppressing ruling family of Al Saud and of Al Khalifa to continue and to resist the change, because I think that is in their interest. You know, the U.S. Fifth Fleet is one. Is it the Saudi regime that would would make sure that the oil flow will be continuing. You know, is that a reason? I have really no idea. But yeah, I mean, it's clear. And that question we asked them, you know, how you pass an arms sale to a government that's oppressing its own people. And the non-lethal weapons that you say we are providing Bahrain government with, Bahrain government are using them to kill people. A tear gas canister that was, you know, that killed several people when it is shot from a short range. So these non-lethal weapons that you pass them, they are killing the people of Bahrain. So how that happens, we don't know.
Well, let me bring in, we're quickly running out of time. I'd like to bring in Colin Covell here. I'd like to refer to a statement made after King Hamad Al-Khalifa was hosted by the UK Queen for a Diamond Jubilee celebrations. UK's former Labour Foreign Office Minister and MP Dennis McShane on Britain's Foreign Minister William Hague, Colin Covell, regarding his position on human rights. He said, this is a sad example of William Hague's double standards of human rights. He is highly selective which regimes that torture, kill, or crush democracy he chooses to criticize. Kind of puts into perspective how not only Britain, but the United States and their approach has been on Bahrain.
Yes, Gave. The United States, Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, knows that the autocratic regimes, our client states in the Middle East, cannot stand as they are constituted at the current time. I know that, as Mr. Al-Arati said, it is difficult to understand why the U.S. is being so two-faced, so hypocritical in the face of these absurd regimes like the Khalifas. But I suggest that following the election, if Obama is reelected, then we will see some regime alteration in the Middle East. Hillary Clinton, like her husband, the former president, Bill Clinton, you know, you can say many things about her, but one thing she is not stupid. And they know that when a regime has 11-year-olds rising up against it, when it has children rising up against it, that regime is no longer sustainable in the long run. There has to be change. And I say, be like Ali. Stand up for the rights of the Bahraini people.
Okay, we're going to end it there. Thank you very much, Colin Covell, former lecturer at the University of Bahrain. Also like to thank Abbas Al-Omran, Bahrain from the Bahrain Center for Human Rights, and President of the Bahraini Medical Association, Osama Al-Arati, there from Detroit. And thank you for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis. From Mikova Takwai and the entire team, it's goodbye.